More than one way to keep from crying. I'll be the head of a dog, you'll be the tail of a lion.
Good morning, I'm Peter Solomon. This is the morning show on Jazz 88, and I'm welcoming to the studio Dylan Hicks, a singer, songwriter, and composer. He's got a show coming up at Parkway Theater on September 8th that we'll be talking about, and his recent single, Unicellular Spore, was featured as a hot new local single on Jazz 88 just a few weeks ago. I found that really intriguing. Dylan, it's a thrill to talk to you this morning. Welcome.
Thanks for having me on.
So I was telling you before we got started, I'm new to the area, and so I know a lot of our listeners may be familiar with your work, but how do you introduce yourself and what you do to people who don't know you yet?
Yeah, well, I'm mainly a singer-songwriter. That's my main focus, and I've also written novels and other work for the page, so I kind of see song lyrics as a branch of literature, and I think of it that way. And then I mainly, you know, come from a folk pop R&B rock background, but I'm also a lifelong jazz fan. I've learned a few things, I think, from jazz harmony and from looking at that, but I'm playing with a lot of musicians who are really more in either the improvised music scene or in new music or in jazz, and we work collaboratively, and I think we kind of come up with an interesting hybrid.
The new recording, Flora, features the band Small Screen, and as you just alluded to, you're working with, you know, a very jazz-inspired instrumentation. There's trumpet, trombone, cello, sax, and guitar, and rhythm. And I was wondering how you arrived at that combination of instruments to showcase your lyrics.
At that first party you said, you were ignored half the night, a check engine light. But what's missing from the metaphor is the world's recklessness.
Well, sort of at the core of this nine-piece group is a sextet I've been working with for a while. That's mainly made up of folks I've long admired. I just like their music. A few people like Zach I had played with before in other contexts. I knew Michelle a bit, Kenny the cellist. So it was friends and just also kind of having this idea that I wanted to use, kind of combine some of my more formerly traditional songs with some of these songs that could stretch out a bit more and kind of play with the song form a bit and allow for all this sort of instrumental, either composed music and improvised music. And they seem like a good fit. You know, people who liked pop music but also had that technique and training to, you know, bring it into different contexts.
Do you, when you're working in a more of a pop context, kind of constrain yourself to a 3-minute, like what might appear on the one side of a 45, or what sort of limits do you usually work with?
Well, I have in the past, yeah, and sometimes I'll do that very deliberately. Yeah, I've done a lot of more verse, chorus things. I mean, song form, whether it's here or in a more pop thing, I mean, one of the things I love is the economy of trying to convey something, whether it's a narrative or some idea, you know, in really quite a few words, you know, a limited number of words, so. Even with these more sprawling songs, the more traditionally song-like elements are not too extensive. So I really like that aspect of trying to say what I have to say pretty economically.
That's going to something I actually really wanted to speak to you about. So we featured Unicellular Spore as our hot new local single a few weeks back, and it's a really intriguing song, and it struck me that it's basically a series of images that evokes emotion when I listen to it, and not so much an explicit tale of a narrative.
Yeah. You were the ocean I sailed on, the highway under my dodge, the pine needle trail wrapped round the hillside led to your ancestral lodge. Oh, and you were the breeze through my window.
So I was wondering, what are you trying to achieve when you write a song like that? And how do you think of it differently when you're writing a story that you're maybe telling at least part of in a song versus, you know, in a more extended form, like I know you've done some novellas.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think sometimes it's working with a few little ideas, like I like the Liszt song as kind of a song form. Like a good example would be Cole Porter's You're the Top. It's a series of, you know, contrasts and lists, you know. This is kind of like that, where it's things that contrast, some things that are very, very large and some things that are very small. And I'm not a science person, but the unicellular spore is a very small thing. So I kind of wanted to contrast that with really big things and maybe kind of hint at a relationship where to one another you become the largest thing, and also that everything matters, the largest things and the smallest things. So I guess I've been trying to find ways to deal with romantic life in a way that feels kind of angular, kind of like I'm approaching those kind of love songs or breakup songs in ways that are a little mysterious or elliptical.
So, I mean, it got me thinking, and it doesn't sound anything like Highway 61, but it kind of got me thinking of Rolling Stone, because I know that Dylan, when he wrote that song, it was a piece of a much longer narrative. And so you don't really get the full story, but you get a hint of it.
Yeah.
And certainly it conveys the emotion behind it.
I love that. I mean, he's my namesake. I was born in 1970, and my parents were, you know, music fans and counterculture people. So I'm a big Dylan fan, and I know that a lot of that stuff is in there, whether or not I'm aware of it or not.
I wanted to get you to talk about the backstory to a couple other tracks, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Now, the title track from your new EP, Modern Flora, is an instrumental. Can you talk about how you approached that work?
Yeah. Well, a lot of the credit there should go to J.C. Sanford, who did the final arrangement on that tune. With this album, we're always collaborative, but I would write the tunes and then sketch out an arrangement for the group and then turn that over to another member of the group. And that was probably my best arrangement idea, because they brought all sorts of ideas and acumen and, you know, just really transformed and enriched the music. And so that one in particular, they all did, but that one, J.C. really brought a lot of stuff that just surprised and delighted me. So as far as my writing, I did most of that writing. I started on the piano, but then moved to a notation app on my computer and started messing around that way. And I think my vision for what it would be, it really did mutate quite a lot when JC started working on it. And I love what it became, you know. It's a funny piece for me because I don't do a lot. And when we perform it, I'm used to playing in a song setting where I'm singing and playing the chords and people are kind of working around me. And this is more like I might lay back for 24 bars and then re-enter briefly. So it's a different experience for me, which I've enjoyed.
What are you actually playing on that track?
I play piano mainly, yeah. I play guitar a bit too, but not in this record.
I also wanted to ask you about If Spring Comes.
Mm-hmm.
A tree left to bed, taste in my mouth, which was mostly blood. I had to bribe Sarah's locksmith brother to retrieve my phone. Failed by the rain, the light fragrant rain. I showed late again.
Yeah, so that one is one of the few pieces on the album that the sort of song component preceded the main body. I did most of the writing in a few months before the session, but that one I had kicking around during kind of peak COVID. It was just sort of a pretty simple chord change and a kind of dialogue. I almost thought of it like, you know, when Bob Newhart used to do his bits where he would be on one end of the phone conversation. I thought of it as a phone conversation where we're only hearing one side of it, but we're getting the story through that side. I liked that, and I knew there was something to it, but it was a little dull. I felt like it needed more, so I just kept expanding on it, and then it kind of became this much more wider scope thing. And then again, I turned that one over to Christopher Thompson, who's a saxophonist and clarinetist in the group. And I asked him in particular to kind of bring out those vernal aspects in the spring title, just kind of metaphorically kind of make things open up and bloom sort of toward the end. And I just love how he interpreted that, you know, brought that idea into the music and the harmony aspects of the harmony that he brought out.
So I'm really interested in the relationship between a producer and the musicians that he's working with, or she. Did you work with a producer, or did you fill that role? What was the process for making this recording?
Yeah. Well, that's an interesting question. I mean, I credit, I said the record, last couple of records have been produced by Dylan Hicks and everyone, because it is kind of like we're all doing things that sort of are production, really. And that would include the engineer for this session, Miles Hansen at Creative Audio, really, really great engineer in the old school way and also with Pro Tools. And then all the players, we always have ideas. I don't have a lot of, I can record at home. I don't have a lot of technical facility in terms of like, let me roll off a little 12K here. You know, I don't, that's not who I am really. But I guess I produce it in the sense that I try to bring the people together and I have the sort of concept that I'm trying to realize. But we really all work together on making it happen. And oftentimes I will sort of restate and we'll kind of pass the leadership baton to somebody else who is more equipped to kind of lead us through a certain thing. So.
It's kind of interesting to me because you hear about certain musicians. I understand that Paul Simon is like this, that are extremely controlling and and have, you know, very clear ideas from the outset about exactly how they want this to sound. And it sounds to me more like you're willing to take risks and willing to trust these other musicians with your song. And it's going to become something perhaps that you never even imagined. Is how are you thinking of that?
Yeah, you just said it perfectly. That's really the ideal, at least. I mean, I love Paul Simon's work myself, but it may be that I am kind of controlling in life and I'm trying to combat that with this sort of how we approach the music. But as I've gotten older, I've really become to believe almost as a point of principle that if I can clarify my ideas as best I can in this song, then I don't want to meddle too much, because I think the musicians, when they feel more at liberty to express themselves, will just bring more to it, and they'll enrich the music. And that to me, really more than like, oh, this has a sharp nine or some other harmony that I might have gotten from jazz, that to me is more how we reflect the jazz influences, this sort of opening this conversation up to a constant dialogue and having letting the songs mutate every time we perform them. Some of them are more flexible than others, but that's what I think I'm trying to nod at. You know, I'm not myself a jazz musician, but I'm such a fan, and that's maybe how I try to tip my hat to that great heritage.
Tell me about the concert that's coming up at the Parkway Theater on Sunday, September 8th.
Yeah. Well, we're going to play two sets, two 45-minute sets, and we'll play about half the material with this full Nonet, a nine-piece group, and we'll focus on material from this record. And then I'll play half the set with as a sextet, kind of mix and match. And we will touch on some. I kind of have been playing around here for, since I was 20, really, in more of a rock and roll vein when I was in my 20s. So I'm not quite the rock and roller I was then, but we will touch on some of that older material.
If I were a single man living in this town, I'd want to walk around.
Surprises. So I think it will be a nice mixture of music, some of it kind of a little sprawling and kind of experimental, and some of it quite straightforward and earnest, you know. So I hope people will like it.
So I wanted to ask you before I let you go, if you had to pick one or two jazz recordings that you found inspirational, I mean, not necessarily that would be influential in an obvious way, but some things that you fell in love with that really kind of tugged your ear, what would they be?
You know, I think I will pick two things that were released when I was a teenager. So I have a history in radio as well. I was a big KBM fan when my family moved here in 1983, but I was also a volunteer at KFAI. And my wife, Nina Hale, she and I met there. We were both young volunteers. A couple of records that came out during that period that really blew me away. One was a record by Henry Threadgill, the Henry Threadgill Sextet, called You Know the Number. He was in the group Air, and he made a lot of great records. But that record came out when I was starting this volunteer jazz show. And it has blues, and it has avant-garde stuff. I just loved it. And it was one of the first things where I was just captivated by a brand new jazz album. I wasn't, I love an old Miles record or Louis Armstrong or whatever, but I hadn't had too many experiences where I was in the moment listening to something that was brand new. And around that same time, a lot of what the artists who were then called the M-Bass Collective, if you remember that, people like Greg Osby and Jerry Allen and Steve Coleman, some of Jerry Allen's early records did that for me too. There was one called Open on All Sides in the Middle, and then one a trio record that she made with Charlie Hayden. I just loved her piano playing and her approach. So those were two that kind of meant a lot to me when I was 17 or something like that.
Dylan, it's been a pleasure talking to you. It's really nice to meet you. I hope I can get to see your show on September 8th, and thank you for coming out.
Thanks a lot for having me. Yeah, all right.
Dylan Hicks and Small Screens will play a concert celebrating the release of the new album called Modern Flora this Sunday. That's September 8th at 7:30 p.m. You can find information at theparkwaytheater.com. You can get information on Dylan Hicks and his many different projects at dylanhicks.com or on Bandcamp. I'm Peter Solomon for Jazz 88.
When I was a snowflake on velvet, but I felt like Pete Townsend's guitar. The daybreaking hiss of a flattened bike tire, the clang on that old trolley car. Oh, and I was